Okay, we're going to read responsively Psalm 1.
Blessed is the one that does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers.
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night.
That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers.
Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the way in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Okay. Thank you.
Happy Sunday, blessed. Happy Sunday. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. That means we're already starting Lent. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going into a series on the book of Psalms. That's a lot of church words, Lent and Psalms and season. What are Psalms? I know in my head kind of, but I had to look it up. It's a transliteration of a Greek word, psalmoi. We have no English word, psalms. It's a Greek word. And a Greek word is a translation of a Hebrew word, telehim. And it literally means praise song. Praise song. Like what Kevin was singing up here, Kevin Squared. It's Hebrew poetry. It gives a voice and a vocabulary for God's people in every generation so that they can process life together with God in prayer, praise, thanksgiving, repentance, lament, sorrow, and even fear. We find instruction in the book of Psalms. We also find great encouragement, like the passage today. Many of these are personal as well as corporate expressions of worship. And they're rich in imagery and sometimes very raw emotions. Psalms, therefore, are the song of God's people, past, present, and get this, even future. And Psalm 1, right at the beginning, is like an invitation to all people to come and join in all the other psalms as well. And it begins, blessed is the one. And oh man, here's a big church word. Blessed. Does anybody use that word outside of church? Now, we usually associate blessed with something God does, right? Like, God blessed them and said to them, Adam and Eve. Or God said, I will bless you to Abraham. Sometimes it's people blessing people. Like Melchizedek said, blessed be Abraham. And the Hebrew word for that kind of blessing is Barak. Say it. Barak. That's the verb to bless. But that's not what Psalm 1 says. That's not what's used here. Instead, the psalm uses Asher. Asher. It's not a verb. It's a state of being. You've heard this before. It means happy or fortunate. It's all through the psalms. When you see blessed, more than likely it's Asher. And the first time we heard this was when Jacob's sixth son was born. And Leah, when she saw that she had a sixth son to give to Jacob, she said very loudly, she says, oh, I'm going to name him Asher because I'm so happy I gave a sixth son. We see it also when the Queen of Sheba visited the courts of Solomon, and she was so overwhelmed by his wisdom, she began to just gush, "How happy! How Asher your people must be! How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom!" So, we don't have to use church words. We can say very, very simply, happy is the one. And that gets right to our point. Do you want to be happy? Not just a fleeting feeling once in a while when you hear a funny joke, but some deep contentment in our life that changes our state to one of joy. The truly happy person is one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. I don't know about you, but I want to be that happy person. And when I look at you, I want all of you to be that happy person. And I believe God wants all of us to be happy people. And so that's why we study Psalm 1 today. Let me pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word, the secret to a happy life. Help us, Father, to find a practical way before the end of this message so that we too may delight practically in your word in this year. We may be truly happy people. Father, stand me by your grace. Speak through me to your people today. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So look again at verse 1. Blessed or happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. And when we want to be happy, it's important to recognize what we must not do. On this journey of life, we all need counsel. We need advice. We need to know where we stand, who we are. And of course, we need the company of other people. In our world, connected by social media, there is no shortage of people who want to tell us what to do, want to tell us how to live, tell us what to think and what to believe. In fact, the wisdom of this world is always telling us how to live. But I want you to see that when it says wicked here, it does not necessarily mean pure evil. It means godless. It means advice that does not consider God. Godless advice, no matter how good it sounds, will never lead us to happiness. Rather, instead of a life that's pressing on the upward way, if we heed godless advice, it leads to a downward spiral that ends sitting in the company of mockers. Mockers are people who delight in the misfortune of others. Ha, you fell. Ha, you lost your job. I'm better than you. And when they open their mouths, all that comes out is endless complaints about everything and everybody. You know anybody like that? Maybe sometimes I'm like that. Life isn't going anywhere, and when they're stuck, they only blame others, and they want you to join in. And I will ask you, does anybody want to be a mocker? When you grow up, do you want to be a mocker? Yes or no? No way. No, you don't. The bad news is, this is the wide way of the world. And by default, that's the way it leads. So if we want to be happy, the psalmist is telling us the first thing we have to do is to say no to the wide road that leads to destruction. It means that we have to dare to be different from this world and its expectations, demands, and teachings. It will require fighting against the overwhelming current of society at times that really wants you to think a certain way, to go a certain way, and to be a certain kind of person. For example, just because everyone on TikTok is doing something stupid, that doesn't mean we should do it too. Most people in the world pursue money or pleasure, and their advice is usually how to get both to the maximum degree. But pursuing these blindly has shipwrecked so many lives. Are we listening to the counsel of the wicked? We become what we watch, what we consume. Is it leading you the narrow way or the wide way? Our watching history. So we don't go that way, but we still need advice, identity, company. Where can we find these things? Let's read verse 2 together. Okay? But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. What do you think of when you hear delight? Somebody thinks of candy, I'm sure. But I'm guessing nobody was thinking of law. Oh, I can't wait to get home and hit the law books. Delight is something we enjoy doing without having to be told it's good for us. It gives us joy simply by doing it, or maybe it's what we see it doing to us as we do it that gives us joy. So, for example, what's your favorite food? What is it, Christian? Pizza! Do I have to tell you, eat your pizza, you're going to like it? No, of course not. You delight in it. Now, here's another question. Does anybody have just one delight? There's only one thing in the whole world you delight in, everything else just sucks. No, we all have a myriad of things that we delight in, some to more degree than others. And it is my conviction that everyone, no matter who they are, has a delight programmed in them for the word of the Lord, for the law of the Lord. And it's because the law of the Lord is not just a bunch of rules. Do this, don't do that, or else. Here the word is Torah. It doesn't mean laws like traffic laws. It means instruction. It means life direction. It means the terms of the covenant between God and his people, the customs he expects his people to follow. It means the word of the Lord. And I believe God has written on our hearts delight for his word. And I say that because it manifests itself in our desire to be happy, to live life well. That desire comes because you long and delight in the word of the Lord. God wants us to have this word. He wants us to feed this delight. So he doesn't hide his instructions from us. He invested a lot of effort to give us the scriptures so that we may have his words, his instructions. This last year at Christmas, we got several board games that we could play together as a family. And one of them was this game called Munchkin. And it has a bunch of cards and dice, and it really doesn't make any sense. It's hard to understand what the different cards do and what the goal of the game is. But after you read the instructions and you play it a few times, you get the hang of it, and it becomes very enjoyable. Likewise, God wrote the instruction book for our lives in the world. My second son, Joe, turned 13 this week. He's not a preteen anymore, a tween. He's a full teenager. And so his only thing he wanted was a cell phone. So he got a cell phone, a Motorola G Play. Now, if he wants to understand how to use this phone well, he needs to read the Motorola manual. If he reads or watches videos about iPhones, it's not going to help him to know how to use that phone. They're different. Likewise, the wisdom that people have is limited only to their one context. They're like an iPhone trying to tell a Samsung how to work. Only God knows the specific way that he made you and what he created you for and how you can live your best life, how we were meant to live, what the power of living in community will unlock in our lives. That's why we need, although we have many things to delight in, we need to meditate day and night on God's words, God's instructions for life. Now, when I first saw meditation, I tended to think of some Eastern meditation where you empty your minds, become one with the nothing, some kind of trance meditation. But in studying, I found that Hebrews had no idea of that kind of meditation. Hebrew meditation involves reading. It involves study, asking questions, thinking about it, obeying it, reflecting on the answers and results, not just once, not just twice, but every day, all your life. Reading the scriptures, sometimes they bob their heads like that, and they're muttering. Remember the message last week? When we meditated on Jesus' command in Matthew 7, ask, seek, knock, Russell found a theme in his life of God's answer to prayer from childhood until today. If we want to be happy and blessed, we have this delight, we need to stir it up to a roaring fire by meditating. Haggah. This word literally means muttering or musing. Here's a word, soliloquizing. It's like talking to God as you walk and as you speak, reading the Bible to him. Now, if you've noticed, the Bible is not a short book. I got a giant print because I'm going blind, so it's even bigger than more normal. And we're not expected to finish the whole Bible in one day. Rather, day and night, night and day, year to year, we chew on it until this story becomes our story, our identity. So what does happiness or blessed look like? Look at verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. When you put a tree and you plant it by a stream of water, it's committed there to grow. It has its place, and that's where it will be. The life-giving stream of God's word, that is the water of life. I think it's Jesus himself. When we follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that it will always stay in the same place like some rooted tree. Because actually following Jesus is going to lead us many times to live as aliens and strangers in a foreign land. Sometimes it's literal, like going from Chicago to Toledo, or Toledo to Columbus, or both. Or more serious, like refugees fleeing from Kiev as we speak. Yet to the one who meditates on God's instruction day and night, they become, to them, God himself becomes their true nationality, their true home. The place where we belong, our identity is not some location in this world, but it is in God who saved us, who made a way for us in the desert through his son Jesus. A result of committing our lives to God's instruction, we become planted by these streams like this tree. And one thing a tree does is it grows, and it grows year by year. Just like our children grow year by year, especially their hair that needs a cut all the time. We are happy when we find our place where we can grow up in our salvation and we commit ourselves to growing there. And like a tree, we yield fruit. There were two things I noticed about fruit here. The first is that the tree yields its fruit, or its own fruit. What a miserable life for an apple tree to constantly be trying to bear oranges. As we meditate on God's word, though, we come to know who we are, the kind of fruit that God created me specifically to bear and to yield in the course of my lifetime and in the context of this community. Yielding this fruit and seeing the blessing that it has on so many, it makes us happy. But secondly, I note that the fruit is yielded in season. The world constantly tempts us to get everything now. So we're constantly pulled by mindless distraction, trying to go from one thing to the next. But God wants us to live in season, to take our time, appreciate every breath, every moment, every encounter, every relationship and conversation because it is a unique moment. Is it a unique place in the course of our lifetime? Thankfulness for this makes us happy. Restless anxiety makes us miserable. And lastly, I noticed that when writing about the withering leaves, the metaphor completely broke down, and all that the psalmist could say is, whatever they do prospers. Did you hear that? That's an off-the-charts promise of God right there in the Bible. There's no place in the world that can say, whatever you do, you're going to prosper. Only God can make such a promise. Only as we commit to God's way outlined in His Word can such a promise be true. But sometimes in the moment, it doesn't seem like I'm prospering. In those days, we need to meditate on the Scriptures more. Think about them more. And look at someone like Joseph. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. He lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Wait, he was a slave and later thrown into prison, but he prospered. Amen. God's word was true. And then we remember Joseph's grandfather, Isaac. He's trying to build up his family during a famine. All the smart people are fleeing to Egypt. So he's like, well, I guess we got to go with everybody else. But God says, whoa, hold up, Isaac, stay in the land. I will be with you and I will bless you. Isaac obeyed God's instruction. He planted his fields and reaped 100-fold. When his wells kept getting stolen by wicked people, he didn't give up until God granted him all the water he needed and peace with all his enemies. As we read these stories, we can grow in confidence. Whatever we do prospers. How can we be sure that God's promise is true? It is because there is more at work in the world than what we see with our eyes, what we hold with our hands, or what we keep in the bank account. There's something bigger going on. Look at verses 4 through 6. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. When I used to study this, I used to think, well, a serene tree on a hill with the water there, it's kind of boring. But blown around by the wind, not anchored to anything, irresponsible, do whatever I want, that seems kind of exciting. Unattached, so they say. But it's only like that for a little while. See, chaff is the useless husk left over after threshing grain. It's like when you eat popcorn and you get that little skin thing and it gets caught in your tooth. You're like, oh, it's so nasty. That's chaff. Nobody likes that. It's fruitless. It's empty. It's worthless. At the end of the life of a life spent in pursuit of wickedness, that's all that there is. There's nothing to show for it. All choices have consequences. When in need, because they never invested in anyone, there's no one there for them. They're all alone. There's no assembly of the righteous to trust in, to live together with. They look around and all they see, more mockers. It's a way that leads to destruction. But then I think seriously, what prevents us from such an end as that? Am I really that different? I make mistakes every day. And I began to think about why the psalm introduces the concept of the righteous instead of keep calling it the blessed one. Left to ourselves, all of us will be pulled down the way of the wicked that leads to destruction. But thank God that we were not left to ourselves alone. Rather, our Lord Jesus left the glory of heaven, and he came down to be with us, to reveal God to us, to show us the way of life, the Word of God. The reason that we can be sure that our lives will prosper, that we will yield fruit in season, that we are planted by the life-giving streams, that we will be happy, is because it does not rest on our labor or effort. We can't guarantee what we will do tomorrow, but God can, because God knows our tomorrows. He is watching over us. One translation ends it this way. It says, "The Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous." As he was with Joseph and Isaac, Leah and Abraham, the Lord is with all who receive this gift through Jesus, who have decided to say no to the wide way of destruction and yes to the narrow way of following Jesus. And in conclusion, I come back to the same question. Do you want to be happy? Then we need to fuel our delight for God's instruction. Start reading the Bible again. Join a group study. We have at least three during the week. Maybe start teaching the Bible to someone else, a child or a classmate or a friend. Ask to study with someone. Maybe there's a book that you always wanted to know about. There's no time like the present for us to start meditating on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making a way for us through Jesus to live the blessed life, to find true happiness. I know, Lord, you want each of us to be happy. You went through so much to draw us to yourself, to give us your very clear and detailed instructions. Oh Lord, stir in us a fire and passion for your word. Rekindle this delight and help us to invest in it starting today. In Jesus' name, amen.